This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. We have one story today. Since the Civil War, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors have served as military chaplains. Today, the LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports 70 active duty LCMS chaplains and many others serving in the Reserve and National Guard units. Retired Navy Captain Craig Mueller serves as the Synod's Director of Ministry to the Armed Forces. He recently visited chaplains serving in the Middle Eastern nation of Kuwait, where the U.S. maintains a large military presence. I speak with Chaplain Mueller about his trip and the role of chaplains play in the military, both abroad and at home.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's burgeoning relationship with the Lutheran Church in Norway took another step forward with the signing of a protocol agreement at Concordia University Chicago in River Forest, Illinois, during the March 6th and 7th LCMS Northern Illinois District Convention. LCMS President, the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, and LCN Acting Bishop, the Reverend Torkild Bosvi, signed the document, which formalizes the relationship between both church bodies based on mutual doctrinal stances stemming from the Word of God. A brother of one of the 21 Coptic Christians murdered by the Islamic State said, "We are very happy for my brother because he kept his faith until the last moment. I love my brother so much, and I hope to be with him. I ask God to give us patience to endure after his death." Religious persecution, including violence against Christians led by militant Islamic groups like ISIS, has risen dramatically in recent years around the globe. A Pew Research study published in February indicates that more than three-fourths of the world's population now lives under high-level religious restriction imposed by governments, which also correlates with increasing social hostilities toward Christianity. Christians face harassment in the largest number of countries, 102 of the 198 countries in the study. A news conference hosted by the International Christian Concern, which will take place on April the 14th, will discuss violence and discrimination against religious minorities in Pakistan. On March the 15th, two suicide bombers attacked Sunday morning church services in Lahore, killing 14 Christians and wounding nearly 80. The bombing was the latest in a long string of violent actions against religious minorities in Pakistan, dating back nearly two decades. Pope Francis said that Christian martyrs are more numerous today than they were in the first centuries of the church. He made the statement while speaking to a group, the Shalom Community, that had run a relay through Rome, as reported by Vatican Radio, this to show solidarity with Christians who are being persecuted. Islamic State extremists at Iraq's ancient city of Hatra destroyed the archaeological site by smashing sledgehammers into its walls and shooting Kalashnikov assault rifles at priceless statues. A new militant video purportedly from the group shows those incidents. Militants attacked Hatra, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, last month. Officials and local residents said that although the extent of the damage remains unclear, as its territory is still controlled by the Islamic State group. World Lutheran News Digest will return right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson, host of Moments of Assurance, Sunday at 9:15 a.m. right here on KFUO Radio. Each week I have the privilege of producing a quarter hour of message, music, and prayer blended together to fit a special theme for that day. You'll hear messages of hope and complete confidence in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You'll hear choirs and instrumentals to support the message as well. So I invite you to join me. That's Moments of Assurance, Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m.
There's a special place where rare books from times long ago come alive in your imagination. A special place where you can rediscover values that transcend time itself. A special place of adventure, mystery, and drama that's both old and new at the same time. Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Este é Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is Roll Lutheran News Digest.
Okay, let's just start. First of all, I want your official name and title. And you are?
Craig Mueller, and I'm the director for the Ministry to the Armed Forces for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
And you are ordained, and you have served as a military chaplain. In fact, you are a Navy veteran. Is that correct?
That's correct. I served for 28 years as a Navy chaplain, 23 of those on active duty.
What caused you to become a chaplain to the military? What was it that you realized this was your calling?
I think it was actually some of the Navy chaplains that came to the seminary while I was enrolled there at St. Louis and talked about the exciting ministry with the young folks and the ability to serve your country and to serve those who serve. And it was very interesting to me, so I joined their chaplain candidate program so you could actually work during the summers on a Navy base just to see if you like it or not. And I fell in love with it, but at the same time, I still love the parish, so I wasn't planning on coming on active duty. That happened actually in 1991 because of Desert Storm with Saddam Hussein. They needed some volunteers, so I put my name in the hat and got remobilized, if you will, or accessioned to the Navy, and here I am.
The history of the chaplains with the military, I did a little bit of research on this, and it actually goes back to the Revolutionary War, where chaplains actually went with the Continental Army. They weren't part of the military. I don't think there was actually an official chaplain's corps until about the First World War. But there have always been chaplains with the American military. Do you have any history that you can give us on the chaplain serving with us?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not as good as some of our other historians, but I do know when you mentioned the Revolutionary War that we did have a Lutheran who joined in that, in servicing their people in the Revolutionary War. And the Civil War, we've had accounts of several Lutheran chaplains that were serving the military. But I think really, as you mentioned, the World Wars is when our church really took a concerted effort to ensure we had good quality pastors to be endorsed by as chaplains to serve our men and women in the combat or the families who are back at home.
I also understand that with the exception of the Baptists, there are more Missouri Synod chaplains in the chaplains corps than any other denomination.
That I don't think so. I think the Roman Catholic still has more than we do, and it's hard to really put it down because there's almost 220 different denominations, and there's different groups that endorse onesies and twosies. So I think if you put us together, we're pretty close to the top, but I would have to verify which one we actually are, but we do have quite a few numbers. Right now we have 70, so that's a pretty good number on active duty, and if you count our reserves, we're up to 160.
I also read that in the course of the history of the military, something like 417 chaplains have died on active duty.
That sounds about right. Yeah, there have, especially during the World Wars, and then in Vietnam we had some deaths. But the last few years we've had a few that have had IEDs or some combat wounds, but none that I know of that have perished in combat.
You have just recently returned to the United States from Kuwait, where we have a large military presence there, and I understand that you were meeting with our chaplains over there and looking at the situation. What did you find, and What was your intent? What did you accomplish?
Sure. No, very good question. And it's important to know that as the endorsing agent for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, one of my roles is to support our chaplains in the military, provide oversight, but as well as to encourage and them in their ministries so that we are very appreciative of the Department of Defense, who allows us to visit our chaplains on bases and stations, wherever they are. If it works out well, you know, depending on safety and all that, of course. But I got permission to go ahead and visit our chaplains. We had three chaplains in Kuwait, four at one time, but by the time I got there, the other one had already redeployed back to America, the States. So the opportunity to visit them in their ministries, where they go, talk to them and some other peoples, but most importantly, also get to meet with their commanders and talk about how we can train our chaplains to be better chaplains, pastors, because the commanders expect when their chaplains arrive that they're a professional, if you will, to use that term, that they know how to do everything like memorial services, funerals, counseling. They just want them on their staff, special staff, to be able to do all the challenges that their sailor soldiers, airmen, or Marines will have. So our job is to prepare them professionally in the theological world and as pastors. Then the military, of course, will make them officers and teach them the military side of it, if you will. So there's really that two-sided thing, the two collars of the cross and the line officer that they're balancing. But it was a great visit. We have three great chaplains out there. The commanders are very proud of their work. They're taking care of all the troops, and they're being, they're right out there with them. You could see them wherever the troops are, they are as well. So they're doing a good job. That's the report that I got from them and their commanders.
I did a story about a year ago on one chaplain who was in Afghanistan, and I was impressed with how he was right there with the troops in the forward post, sleeping in a tent, and how the soldiers there had actually volunteered their own time to help build a small chapel to hold services. And that impressed me.
Absolutely. That's basically our bread and butter. We're expeditionary, and that's what's unique about this ministry and why it is so demanding physically as well, because you have to meet for that reason. You're carrying your own load of 70 pounds or whatever it is if you're out there in the forward operating bases or going on a hike or a hump, depending on what service you're in. But you have to be there with them, because if you're not there, it really hurts the relationship with your troops. They need to see you out there with them. So you literally are in their culture. You live with them, eat with them. They're eating the same dirt as they do. And so they just come over to you and they see you as one of the team, which is really unique.
Now, how could a soldier or a sailor or an airman take into confidence someone who's not sharing the same risks and lifestyle that he is? I mean, how do you understand what I'm going through? Well, by example.
Exactly. And you hit on something also that's very important that I'd like to talk about the chaplains, when you said that trust and confidence, because we're the only place in the military and all the service branches where the men and women of the services can come to the chaplain and everything is absolutely confidential. So no matter what they share with the chaplain, it is confidential. They own it. I guess it's privileged communication. So that's the only place they can go if they're going through some tough times that they don't necessarily want their sergeant major or first sergeant or chief or master chief or their commander or senior people to know about, so they could process it and ask the chaplain for advice. And my experience and the anecdotal stories that I hear is that most of the times they're just wanting you to help them go through an issue. I mean, they're not like they're trying to do any kind of dangerous things or hurt anybody. They really just want a place where they can talk, share their frustrations, their confidentiality. A lot of them, obviously, as you can imagine, the age group is 18 to 24, so it's a lot of relationship issues, a lot of depression. You know, you hear about the suicide concerns that are going on in our military. So the chaplains are just critical because they are really embedded with their people, and that confidence places where they can go. It's kind of like a safety valve. They can come talk, and then a lot of times they'll just feel better after that hour conversation and go back to their workspace, and no one will ask them and no one will pry any further. Oh, you saw the chaplain? Hey, great. They understand that it's confidential and they won't ask, well, what did you say or what did you talk about?
One other aspect of it that strikes me is just the actual environment in the country. If you have a soldier who's embedded, say, in Germany, there's a civilian structure. It's a Lutheran country, a Christian country, and there's a lot of civilian support there. But we go to Kuwait, and that's a Muslim country. There is no civilian infrastructure there that can support or help the soldier. I imagine it's the same thing with Navy chaplains. If you're in an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Indian Ocean, where can the sailor go for advice? So there's this real environmental, I guess is the word I'm trying to get, environmental impact as well.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point that you bring up, because by Title X or the law, we're only authorized to minister to military personnel or DOD personnel. So our whole purpose is to take care of those who are forward deployed. And that's why we have passed the cases for a law of those who have tried to get rid of the chaplain corps in general. It's because of the free exercise clause that this is chaplains there are providing the free exercise of our Americans who are forward deployed or on a ship or wherever they cannot go to their local congregation, synagogue, or even mosque. So it's very critical that the chaplains are part of the free exercise part of that. And that's our job to provide for all those who are in our care.
And the chaplain corps is more than just Christian, as you've implied here. We were talking Jews, we're talking Muslims, I believe even Buddhist and Hindu.
Yes, I'm trying to think. I think there might be a Hindu. I know there's for sure. When I say we, I mean the Navy that I just left. We had a Buddhist chaplain, and I know the Army does as well. And as you mentioned, we have our imams, and then we also have our rabbis for the Jewish personnel.
I'm trying to put myself in the position of a soldier who is 10,000 miles from home, as you pointed out, maybe 20 years old. You know, I'm Vietnam era, so you know I can just imagine the kind of stress that must have put under, the incredible spiritual questions that must be asked. Your life is in danger. You are in danger of taking a life. And enormous theological implications this must have. How do you answer that to the soldier? You know, we Lutherans do have the concept of the just war and, of course, the fourth commandment. So how do we answer that to them?
Absolutely. And you bring up a good point. Well, we have an advantage with our two kingdom theology, as well as our understanding of Romans 13 and the authority of the state and the church. And a lot of these young folks, whether they're Lutheran or not, which a lot of them aren't Lutheran, will come and talk about those dilemmas. You know, more importantly, you know, their fear for life, that sometimes they're young and you feel like you're invincible anyway. So that's less. But when it comes down to actually taking a life, you know, that's their job. They're trained to do it, and they will do it, you know, for the protection of the guy on the left or right of them, or if it's the mission. But as we have seen coming back from, you know, this long war, if you will, there are times that innocent folks had to be killed because of their duty or just because of the situation, or maybe it was by accident, it wasn't intentional. And a lot of mental health professionals are calling that a moral injury. Of course, theologically, we would talk that maybe you could use the same thing, as it just made you question your theology of where's God in this. What, you know, how come this person had to be killed because these other evil people were, mm-hmm. you know, I just had to protect myself. So, but again, it goes back to that confidence where they can talk to the chaplain about these issues and not look like they're afraid to do their duty, because they wouldn't talk about that too much with their fellow comrades, because it looks, what, are you not going to pull the trigger when you need to?
Yeah.
Or are you second guessing? But they can come to the chaplain and work through these things in confidence and go right back on their patrol or their post, you know, having struggled with that.
For our non-Lutheran listeners, could you explain a little bit about the two kingdom concept and the just war concept?
Sure. I'm sure a lot bigger brains than me on the whole just war theology and so forth. But simply said is that we believe that, you know, God obviously has instituted authority. And as Romans 13, I think, is probably the clearest passage, that most of the folks that aren't Lutheran, when we go through that, they do bear the sword for the government because they've taken an oath to protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So they're doing that in their vocation as a soldier, sailor, airman, or Marines, that this is, as Luther wrote, soldiers too can be saved, that this is a viable and a real vocation that we need to protect our neighbor. And so that's really falls under protecting our neighbor, defending our neighbor, and part of our authority in our country, and to pray for our authority. And of course, we as people of the church then obviously will not tell the government that everybody has to be a Lutheran or make this or establish a religion. We understand the differences there, but we also, which we're hearing a lot about in our society, the free exercise thereof, that I can be in the public square as a Christian and share, and it's going to form my decisions. It's going to form how I act and treat other people, because this is my faith and this is what I believe. And at the same time, I understand that I'm not going to expect the United States government to have a holy war, if you will. It's based on our neighbor, our authority, you know, the commander in chief, and all those that we are that have been put in those positions for whatever reason.
I think I would point out that when our military takes their oath, it is the oath to the Constitution, which includes, of course, the free exercise clause of the First Amendment. So by doing that, they are fulfilling their oaths by going to the chaplain and by having chaplains available.
Absolutely. And that's what, you know, we always say, and some do say, well, how do you function? Again, when you mentioned we have Muslims or Jewish personnel or no religious preference, which some people think is atheist, but it's not really. It's just that they're non-denominational, as we hear around today. They have, you know, some Christian upbringing, but they don't really have a denomination, if you will, that they hang their hat on or put their name to. But regardless of that, they're always searching and asking questions, and the chaplain is there to assist in helping guide them. But the reason it's important in that clause of the Constitution, because imagine for us, for our Lutheran listeners, if you have a Missouri Synod young man out there and their only chaplain happens to be an imam, you would expect the imam not to try to convert them, but to assist them getting to a Lutheran pastor or chaplain who also may be in the area of operations or the theater or get connected with the church somehow. And that's why we do it. You know, that's the free exercise part. It's not compromising. He's not becoming a Lutheran and he's not becoming a Muslim. He's just facilitating and caring for him by offering him opportunities. And so, and that's the same way it is for me as the Lutheran chaplain. If other faiths come up to me, it's not that I'm making them all Lutheran. I'm also facilitating for them what they want to be. But at the same time, if they come to us and there's in that confidential conversation and they want to talk and explore, we're always free to share our faith and say, this is what gets me through this and so forth. And we're not sheep stealing. It's no different than, I guess, your small town or a big town. If one church goes to another church and tries to convert all the Lutherans to Episcopalians or Episcopalians to, you know, there's that unwritten law of not sheep stealing, but providing for everyone.
Some years ago, I interviewed a gentleman, an older gentleman. He'd been a bombardier during World War II, and he was Jewish. And he said at his base in England, when they'd get ready to take off for a mission, there'd be chaplain and there'd be Catholic and Protestant chaplains would conduct services for the airmen. He was the only Jew in a squadron. And he said one day the Protestant chaplain walked up to him and said, can I help you pray? Can I help you spiritually? And the guy goes, well, I'm Jewish. He said, well, do you have a prayer book? Yeah, but I don't read Hebrew. And the pastor said, I do. Give it to me and I will conduct a service with you. So that was it. You know, where he was not trying to steal. He was trying to give the man comfort before he went into this horrible situation. I mean, I can't imagine what it must have been like to fly missions like that.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. He told me his plane was called Bucket of Bolts because he flew something like 30 missions, and every single time their plane got hit. Every single thing. Never went down, never lost a crewman, but it was always full of holes.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's what a story.
It was. He was an amazing man. I'm very glad I met him. Another aspect of military chaplaincy that stretches back to the United States. We're learning more and more about the problems of returning veterans, of returning soldiers. Now, there is something called Project Barnabas. Could you talk about that a little bit to help these people?
Oh, sure. Yes. Operation Barnabas is a project that our church has come up. It started off initially in 2007 convention to help reserve chaplains as they were getting mobilized for almost a year, over a year in the congregations and their families, because they're kind of hung out there to dry because reserve didn't have the same support structure, active duty, you know, with the bases and installations and all that thing that's kind of rolled in there. But it's really morphed into our real intentional effort to reach out to all veterans in our congregations internally who have been part of a congregation and may still, you know, with all the younger ones coming back, but you still have your Vietnam vets, your Korean vets, and still some of our World War II vets who maybe just kind of didn't really get the appreciation or needs, or they have something that we didn't really think about. So it's internal reach to care for them, but also to reach out into the communities. It's a congregational grassroots level of just taking care of the people in our area who may be coming back from Iraq, Afghanistan, younger generation who is going back to college, or they're looking for a job, they're starting back on the family farm. I mean, they're from all over America and now coming back into society. And if our church can reach out to them with the gospel and show that they are welcome with open arms, and we appreciated what they did to serve our country. And again, that gets back to our strong, solid two kingdom theology of recognizing that being a soldier, and I mean that as a sailor and airman, is a honorable vocation, and we appreciate what they've done, and we are here to help them and support them as they transition back to the civilian world, or if they're still on active duty, to be there available for the families back home, and to, you know, just support them the best we can. So Operation Barnabas really is about that. Barnabas, the helper to reach out in local communities.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor Mueller. I appreciate you spending the time.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that.
Anytime. World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home, or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.